What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. So the winds of change are certainly blowing down in Colombia. After their presidential election, where they elected a leftist president for the first time, the Colombian Truth Commission finally released a report that they've been working on for quite some time. And inside of this report, they urge the country and the new president to end the war on drugs. Now, this is significant. Colombia has been a huge partner of the United States in the war on drugs since the 80s. And if Colombia moves away from the war on drugs, it'll be very, very interesting to see what sort of chain reaction that might have. You see, all they have to do is regulate, right? Regulate these drugs, decriminalize these drugs, and they end a whole lot of problems within their own country. But the war on drugs, specifically, has led to hundreds of thousands of deaths in Colombia. And the people of Colombia are fed up. They're looking for a different way. And you could tell by their election, where for the first time ever, they elected a leftist president. They have been historically more of a to-the-right kind of country. Issues with Venezuela, very, very tight partnership with the Americans when it comes to the war on drugs. But like I said in the opening here, the winds of change are blowing. And President-elect Gustavo Petro, he is somebody who is going to carry out these recommendations, according to him, that this commission came up with. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this has an effect on the war on drugs, considering Colombia is where the cocaine is basically, the majority of it anyway, is made. So if the Colombians themselves decide to deregulate, what happens next? Either way, I think that it is the right decision to be starting to move towards decriminalization and legalization. Because you cut these people off right at the knees. And if they don't have that drug money, especially that cocaine money, they will crumble. Guaranteed, without a doubt. Sure, a few groups will stick around. There's always going to be organized crime. There's always going to be a black market. But the vast majority of these groups would crumble without having the cocaine money to buoy them. And the Colombian politicians and the Colombian leadership and, hell, the Colombian people, they understand that as well. Today's article is from Reuters, and the headline, Colombia Truth Commission urges drug policy change to end violence. This article was authored by Luis Jaime Acosta and Oliver Griffin. Colombian leaders must recognize how drug trafficking has penetrated the country's culture, economy, and politics, and how the global war on drugs is driving its internal armed conflict, Colombia's Truth Commission said on Tuesday in a long-awaited report. Now, this commission has been working on this for years, and once they presented this report, you know, people in Colombia are sitting up and taking notice. Because, again, I'm not the only one who thinks that the war on drugs is a failure. There's a lot of people who believe that what we're doing is not the right path. And people like Petro, he certainly believes that. The commission established as part of a 2016 peace deal between the government and the now demobilized Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, rebels, urged the country to reassess the role of drugs in its almost 60-year internal conflict. And while FARC might not be committing terrorism anymore, they certainly have both feet in the cocaine game. That's how these rebels, you know, make some dough. They filled the vacuum when you got rid of the Cali cartel, the Medellin cartel. You had a lot of these armed militant groups, these guerrilla groups, fill the void and get into the cocaine game. Among the commission's recommendation are calls to implement substantial changes in drug policy with a focus on regulation, as well as to lead a global conversation addressing policy changes. Man, this is good stuff. I have to be honest with you. This is exactly what we need. We need countries that have the courage to break from the United States and the failed war on drugs and set the stage. If the United States wants to continue to wage this war on drugs, which is really the war on you, by the way, then fine, they can do it, but they can't expect places like Colombia to fall in line if the Colombians don't believe it's the right way to go. And to be honest with you, I have no idea how anyone looking at the problem we have with drugs in our streets in America can say, you know what, we need to be more brutal in the war on drugs. We need to send more people to jail. Because that has not worked. You're not going to arrest yourself out of this problem. We have to deal with rehabilitation here in America. We're the ones hoovering up all of this cocaine, right? So again, like I always say, we have to take a look at our yard and make sure our yard is clean. Other recommendations included advancing peace talks with the National Liberation Army, ELN, tackling corruption, and guaranteeing quality of life and dignity for all communities. Well, that's pie-in-the-sky type stuff. I don't know how you're going to do that until you get the corruption under control. Because believe me, there's a lot of corruption down in Colombia. Anytime you have narco money and a borderline narco state, there is a ton of corruption because that money is being spread around. What they do with it is they try and buy influence. So that when the shit goes down, they have friends, people that are going to put a stop to things, or people that are going to tip them off that something's coming. And for these guys, it's money well spent, right? President-elect Gustavo Petro attended the presentation and pledged to carry out the recommendations. These recommendations will become successful in the history of Colombia, said Petro, a former member of the M19 rebels, adding cycles of vengeance must end. There is no doubt that the I kill one of yours, we kill two of mine. I mean, you kill two, one of mine, we kill two of yours. That has to end because that just leads to more violence, right? And when you're dealing with all of this money that comes from the drug trade, well, of course, there's going to be violence. There's going to be people jockeying for position to set themselves as the honcho, the guy that's running the show, because that's where the money is. But if you get rid of all of that, like we did after we ended prohibition on alcohol, look at what it did to the organized crime groups. Sure, there were some that were well established that were able to maintain, but they took away a huge portion of that money when they got done away with prohibition. From 1985 to 2018, 450,664 people were killed in the conflict, according to the Truth Commission. While 55,770 were kidnapped between 1990 and 2018. Now, just for a comparison, okay, since the war on drugs in Mexico started, there's been over 350,000 people killed in that, and that's a soft estimate. And it's been nowhere near, you know, the amount of time, over 30 years, that was going down in Colombia. And my point is, it just shows you how violent the war is in Mexico. There is not a drug war or a battle for drug routes anywhere in the world at any point in history that is more brutal than what we see going on up in Mexico as we speak. More than 7.7 million people were displaced from 1985 to 2019, and 121,768 were disappeared between 1985 and 2016, it added. You know, in Colombia's heyday, these groups would just come into people's houses, snatch them off the streets. FARC, they would kidnap all kinds of tourists and businessmen, and they made a ton of money with kidnappings. So it was a dangerous prospect to go down to Colombia for a long time. You'd get on one of these buses, you know, trying to go see some of the cultural sites or whatever, and before you know it, FARC has the bus pulled over, and they're yanking people off. So it was a pretty dangerous situation for tourists. Now, not so much. I mean, I'm sure it still happens, but nowhere near like it used to be. Despite the peace deal, which ended FARC's role in the conflict, fighting continues in some parts of Colombia between leftist rebels from ELN and FARC fighters who reject the accord, as well as crime gangs and the military. Yeah, look, there are a ton of gangs in Colombia, like anywhere else, a lot of drug gangs. And when the Medellin cartel and the Cali cartels were blown up, a lot of these little cells were formed. The commission was given 3 years to investigate the truth of what happened during the armed conflict and offer a broad explanation of how atrocities happened. The more than 1,000-page report included hours of testimony at private and public hearings where perpetrators and victims alike spoke in often emotional recountings. Drug trafficking and the war on drugs contributed to the degradation and extension of the conflict into one of total war, the report said. There's no doubt, folks. Anytime that you're going to find cocaine and the war on drugs and all the rest of it, it's going to bring a lot of pain, suffering, and violence. And most of that pain, suffering, and violence is going to be experienced by people who are already poor, who are already up against it, because that's where this shit floods, the poor neighborhoods. You don't see, go to your local suburb. You don't see a trap house, right? There's a reason all the kids and the people from the suburbs go into the inner city to score their dope. Colombia, a major cocaine exporter, joined the war on drugs in the 1980s under pressure from the United States and continues to face constant U.S. pressure to eradicate coca, cocaine's chief ingredient, and tackle trafficking, the report said. Current President Ivan Duque, whose term officially ends in August, did not attend. So there is a wind of change at hand, folks. And if Colombia breaks from America in the war on drugs, that's going to signal a real, real big change. And for those of us who follow this or cover this or are interested in this topic, we all know that it's going to be a big deal. So I'm very interested to see which way Petro goes here and how far Colombia goes with deregulation. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. If you'd like to contact me, you can do that at bobbycappucci@protonmail.com. That's BobbyCappucci at protonmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at BobbyCappucci. The link that we discussed can be found in the description box.